when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
This pandemic has actually played into the fact that housing is more of a necessity than ever before.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. I'm Tyrone Shum, and in this special episode of Invest Like a Pro, presented by Housefinder with expert Simon Liu, we talk about the COVID-19 pandemic and overcoming the fear of the unknown that has brought upon us. We discuss some of the impacts he has seen, how to mitigate some of the risks, why you need to remind yourself of the end goal, and much, much more. We jump right in, and Liu shares with us some of the conversations he has had with his clients about the COVID-19 pandemic.
I think it's more pertinent than ever before. I think previous to COVID-19, there was just a lot of, most property investors would just have an expectation that their properties would be rented, would find great long-term tenants, all they'd have to focus on is vacancy rates and things like that. But I think the deeper into this whole pandemic that we've gotten into, the more we're seeing articles of, the rental market really taking a massive hit, people are reducing rents significantly, especially certain types of properties. So the conversations I'm having a lot with at the moment with my current clients and past clients are, what they should be doing and what they should be looking for in a property or in their own portfolio to ensure that it will be, relatively securely tenanted in the long term. Even if there's vacancies, even if they're in between tenants, I guess it just comes down to mitigating a lot of risk, which is more important than ever.
We find out the best ways for us to mitigate risk in the light of the pandemic and some of the biggest fears of a property investor.
The biggest risk is not being able to find a tenant. Having a very long vacancy period in any property investor's portfolio is an extremely frustrating, and it gets to a point where it's a downright scary experience. If you're just paying mortgage repayments, if you're just paying council rates and all these expenses and you're not getting any income from that property, it really does put a lot of stress on your personal finances, even if you are, fully employed and all that type of stuff as well. So that's probably the first fear. The second fear is getting bad tenants. They sign on and they don't pay rent, which I have noticed in specific areas that has been a little bit more frequent because, since obviously this whole COVID-19 thing happened, there's been a lot of, a lot of measures put in place from the government to stop landlords from exercising their rights that they could have previously if tenants were, to just stop paying rent.
But the interesting thing is, as a landlord too, we're not allowed to terminate tenants based on, if they're non-paying rent. And even they did come to ask us for a reduction, we were trying to ask to see if we can get them to provide evidence that they have had a drop in, their rental income. So not rental, their business income, if they're a commercial business. And unfortunately, they couldn't even supply that. So, everything's all sort of acting in good faith and there was no measures, there's no metrics, there's no reporting that's around this. So there's not even accountability. So people could potentially say, I've lost my job. Could they? We don't know.
Well, eventually as a landlord, you can take action depending on what state you are. There's certain time frames that you can, but it's so long that it's, just a very frustrating and stressful experience. If a tenant decides not to pay rent up to 6 months, you basically can do nothing. A few of the ways that I try to mitigate a lot of this type of risk, I guess it's no secret that I've always had a sort of a focus on buying investment properties that's in more sort of affordable housing areas. in major capital cities. So we're not talking like, you know, very blue chip houses in a city type areas, but the focus has always been in areas where it's just your typical sort of, you know, average income, middle ring kind of suburbs. I think the main point that we have to focus on is the way that investors see property is different to what the majority of Australians see property as, which is, at the end of the day, a place to live in, you know, for themselves, for their family, you know, obviously notwithstanding like a massive catastrophic event. Housing will always be first and foremost considered as an essential item for people to live in. So the type of properties that will always be in demand are what I would consider affordable housing. You've got your 3-4-bedroom house that's in a major city, that's in proximity to shops, schools, parks, transport. It may not be right near the city, but it's within distance of traveling to various aspects of that particular city.
In times like this, it can be as simple as having affordable housing to mitigate the risk of long vacancies.
Even in my own portfolio, I had a few vacancies in recent weeks, and legitimate vacancies where tenants had to leave and I had to find new tenants. That kind of stuff is still significantly in demand from a rental perspective. You're getting a lot of people now that are, you know, unfortunately in you know, exposed to some pretty bad financial situations personally. And previously they might be renting or they might be living in a, you know, quote unquote nicer property in a city, but because of unseen circumstances that they're having to move back into more sort of affordable options. So that's one side of the demographic. The other side is for the people that are maybe moving out of home or for maybe like a young family that's new to the state or starting out, they're also looking at these kinds of more affordable options. I guess at the end of the day, there will be consistent demand for houses that are affordable. You know, houses that are clean, safe, they're tidy, you know, they can house a family. I think that's also a very important factor to find properties where young families with kids or for any family with kids can safely live in. But I feel like if there is more of a focus of it for investors to focus on this type of product, it'll mitigate a lot of the risks of having tenancy issues down the track.
Lou provides us with a tip on the type of property that he believes is always in high demand.
That's always the bottom line. And whatever your goals are with property, it's 99% going to be a very long-term exercise. When you buy a property, you're holding onto it for at least 5 years, usually around 10 years. A lot can happen in 10 years. You know, you'll have ups and downs with the economy. You'll have, you know, unforeseen circumstances like this pandemic happening. High interest rates, low interest rates, personal circumstances, you know, investors or people sometimes run into situations themselves where they have a bit of a rough patch. Maybe they a bit of unemployment or maybe a health issue, health scare potentially. So I think risk mitigation is so important, like now more than ever. And it's been a big focus for me and my clients nowadays to really focus on characteristics. Not really, I mean, we talked a little bit about the type of properties which are affordable housing, but the characteristics of these properties as well come into play. And in general terms, you do need a property that appeals to as many people as possible. A property that might appeal to the wider range of demographic would be like a 3-4-bedroom house with a decent sized yard. You know, it might be very low maintenance, it might be very safe, very typical layout, nothing too flashy, nothing too odd. In Queensland in particular, there's obviously the difference between high set and low set houses. High set basically is a low set house, is a single story house, but on stilts. Those are less in demand from a rental perspective than your typical sort of low set 3-4 brick house. Because if you have a house that needs stairs to get in and get out of, you're cutting out a significant amount of potential tenants that may have, you know, maybe some disabilities or, you know, maybe they just don't like stairs.
Building a portfolio with properties that appeal to a wider demographic is important in getting through a difficult period.
With my own portfolio as well, the ability of having these affordable houses is obviously when the buy-in price is generally a bit cheaper compared to your more intercity areas. So over the long term, it allows an investor to spread their portfolio over a larger quantity of assets rather than, you know, having a lot of debt tied to just one or two inner city houses. Because if one of those houses become vacant or both become vacant, then you're really in a sticky situation. So I think that's also, I guess in many ways, proving to be a bit of a lifeline. Just having these properties that are appealing to the majority of tenants, they're in decent areas in capital cities, they're priced to a certain point, not super expensive. And if you've got a few of them, then it becomes like a bit of a self-fulfilling portfolio where even if you have like one or two properties that are going through a bit of a rough patch, you've got a bunch of other properties that might be doing well enough to absorb some of those costs, if that makes sense. I feel like that, like, if you get these things right, it really helps investors not be exposed to too much pain, potential pain, I guess, in the coming months, in the coming years even, depending on how this pandemic plays out. Another controversial point that I've actually noticed on the ground when it comes to tenants is the stereotypical bad tenant can prove to be your best, especially in times of crises.
Coming up after the break, we delve into why there is an increased amount of activity in the property market at this time.
The shift has been on occupiers being propped up by a lot of confidence and also being propped up by a lot of media bashing on the property market because of all the doom and gloom.
A stark reminder of the importance of having an exit strategy in place in case of an emergency.
It's really important not only to focus on growth and, I guess, advancing towards that goal, but it's also important to ensure that you don't get into deep, you know, have measures in place to ensure that if things were to go wrong, you can exit.
And that's next. I'm Tyrone Shum, and you're listening to Invest Like a Pro, presented by HouseFinder. Have you been looking for months and getting frustrated that each property you've seen seems to be a lemon? Or are you after distress, off-market, high cash flow properties in high growth areas, capital city locations? If you answered yes to either of these questions, you are not alone. For being a loyal listener of the podcast, Simon Liu is offering a free one-hour strategy session normally valued at $500 to help put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au and fill out the contact form or call Simon directly on 0415-626-342 and quote Property Investory. We hear an interesting story about one of Lou's tenants and why you shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
I've got a single mum tenant in one of my properties who was struggling to find a home for herself and a couple of kids that she has. You know, I decided to take her on because, you know, at the time she was employed, you know, she wasn't on Ticker, which is a database for bad tenants. She came back with some really good references. It did two things. She was extremely grateful that I took her on because clearly she had been rejected by a few other properties based on her single mum status or stereotype that a lot of landlords associate with as being not a reliable tenant. But the other thing is she was actually receiving Centrelink benefits, rent assistance. And that rent assistance paid her rent completely. So as a landlord, her rent was basically coming directly from Centrelink into my bank account. Now, I know for a fact that, you know, this particular tenant did lose her job. And I think she's found a new job at the moment. But, you know, regardless of whether she's in between jobs or not, my rent as a landlord is still secure because it's coming directly from Centrelink. And, you know, it's unnecessary for her to try and negotiate a lower rent or, you know, it's even if she chooses not to, you know, pay rent, it doesn't really affect her, if that makes sense. So I guess what I'm trying to say is a lot of the negative stigma that a lot of people have with tenants and with certain types of properties can actually prove to be the best kinds of investment, especially when there's trouble, you know, when there's a lot of uncertainty in the market.
When you're looking for tenants, you need to ensure that you approve the right people in the end.
I think a lot of character analysis comes into play, and a offshoot of that is having an extremely good property manager as part of your team. You know, typically when you have a house for rent, obviously you do an open home, and the type of people that come through, you know, you never want to judge a book by their cover, but, you know, at least when you're having a chat to them physically and looking at you know, into their eyes and having, you know, conversation about the situation and what they're after, all that kind of stuff. You get a gauge, you know, to some degree on the situation or the genuineness of a particular person that's looking to rent a property. Now, I think if it was, let's say, two able-bodied mates, you know, mid-20s, that are on Centrelink, you know, I think maybe that's a little bit different to having, you know, like a single struggling mum, you know, with three kids that's looking for something safe to live in. Everyone's got different situations. You know, obviously, if there's two able-bodied friends or brothers that have been on Centrelink for a very long time, then they may not be the most genuine of characters because, you know, look, I mean, we're in a pretty bad economic situation at the moment. People can't find jobs. But, you know, you kind of have to question, okay, are you guys actively looking? When was the last time you had a job? You know, all those kinds of factors are super important. Now, I'm not suggesting every single mum with three kids out there are genuine and struggling and they're not, you know, they're not, they're all, you know, angels doing the right thing. But I guess what I'm trying to say, there's always going to be a risk, you know, with any tenant in any property. I think it's our job as investors to minimize that risk as much as possible. And what I found recently is part of that is actually, you know, taking advantage, I wouldn't say taking advantage, but leveraging the generous benefits that the Australian government has for people that are genuinely struggling. So, you know, I think that has helped me ensure that the cash flow from my properties haven't really been impacted too much because, you know, these properties that I have, they appeal to the type of people that will forever, you know, need affordable and safe housing at the end of the day.
Nobody saw the global pandemic coming and the impact that it would have. If you are a little fearful at this time, just remind yourself that everything will eventually get back to normal.
This pandemic has actually played into the fact that housing is more of a necessity than ever before. You know, people need their own spaces, you know, to overcome or to minimize the risk of catching COVID-19. Authorities are advising people to stay indoors as much as possible and to keep apart. You know, at the end of the day, I feel like this particular pandemic globally will actually benefit certain property markets. You know, it might not benefit the super expensive blue chip type properties because the amount of people that are buying and can afford those kinds of properties during times of risk is definitely lower. But I do feel like median, the more sort of affordable options, that there's definitely been a bit of an uptake, especially in the areas that are operating from a business perspective, from a buying perspective. A lot of homeowner buyer activity at the moment, a lot of owner occupiers now, you know, looking at these suburbs that, I mean, just because they're affordable, it doesn't mean they're lower socio, it doesn't mean that they're bad areas. You know, they're just, you know, a bit further out, maybe not what a lot of people would prefer in terms of proximity to cities and things like that. I mean, really, we're talking about, you know, 20-kilometer distance, so it's not like a huge, you know, 5-hour commute or anything like that. And the other thing is, I feel like a lot of these, from what I'm seeing as well, a lot of these, the owner occupiers or first home buyers that are buying a house to live in are also being a little bit more conservative. You know, previously they might be borrowing to the hilt to try and get that property that they really want in a very desirable location. But now, you know, because of the economic risk and, you know, potentially employment risk as well, even if they can afford, let's say, $1 million buy a fancy place to live in, they're opting for more sort of conservative options and they're maintaining a bit of a buffer, you know, from a cash perspective as well. So they might be, you know, budgeting $700,000 instead, as an example. So I think that's starting to become a little bit more normal as well.
We delve into why Lou thinks that work in the property industry has been busier than ever, even during this period of time.
There's a few factors at play currently. You know, I think the government has done a great job in maintaining confidence with the general public. You know, again, with JobKeeper, JobSeeker, you know, banks deferring mortgage repayments, you know, extremely low interest rates, even though that's not really a government policy. But all of these factors combined has helped maintain a lot of confidence with people who need to enter the property market because they need a house to live in. Now, previous to COVID, I would say there was probably a 50-50 balance between an investor wanting to buy a property versus an owner-occupier wanting to buy that property. Since we're, you know, several months into COVID, I would say that shift is probably more like 20% or 25% investor versus 75% or 80% owner-occupier. So there's a lot more owner-occupier activity. There's a lot more first-home buyer activity. On the other hand of the equation, there's a very limited number of listings that are coming on board, you know, on the market, definitely a lot less than there would be normally. So the people that are selling houses at the moment, there's a lot more situations where people have genuine reasons to sell rather than previously where people are thinking, oh, you know what, if I can cash out or make a decent profit, or maybe I'll just test the market and see if there's any, you know, potential buyers and things like that. We've got a situation where we do have a lot of buyers on the grounds. The shift has been occupiers being propped up by a lot of confidence and also being propped up by a lot of media bashing on the property market because, you know, of all the doom and gloom and property prices are going to tank and all this kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a lot of owner-occupiers that are out there thinking that they're going to be getting a better deal, a bargain, or a cheap house that they can, you know, buy a house for their family to live in or to grow up in. And then on the other hand, you've got a limited number of listings as well. So I think when you marry the two together, you get a situation where there's just a lot of market activity. It's more apparent in locations where it's not like super expensive. You know, you've in locations that are, again, more affordable, in locations that are more conducive to, you know, median income standards and things like that.
You need to be in property for the long haul and understand there will be bumps along the way, but always have the end goal in mind.
Property is a long-term game, and I think investors all have to remember this. And this is how I advise all my clients that come to me and say, hey, Simon, I want to build a portfolio. I want to have $100,000 of passive income in 10 years. I go, okay, cool, that's great. Let's strategize. We can work that out. That's fine. But 10 years is a long time. You know, within that 10 years, there's going to be high interest rates. There's going to be different economic policies. There could be, you know, pandemics like what we're experiencing. So it's really important, you know, not only to focus on growth and, I guess, advancing towards that goal, but it's also important to ensure that, you know, you don't get into deep. You have measures in place to ensure that you don't, you know, if things were to go wrong, you can exit. You know, exit strategies are super important. We've discussed this in previous episodes. And also to ensure that your property appeals to lots and lots of tenants and it's rentable. And, you know, you're not going to come under any undue stress or risk if that tenant decides to not pay rent or if they decide to leave or if you have maintenance issues and things like that. So.
Thank you to buyer's agent Simon Liu, our guest on this special episode of Invest Like a Pro presented by Housefinder. Also, for being a loyal listener of the podcast, I've asked Simon to offer a free 1-hour strategy session, normally valued at $500, to help you put together an actionable property plan. To get your free strategy session, simply visit housefinder.com.au and fill out the contact form, or call Simon directly on 0415 626 342 and quote, property investory.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.